You're listening to Conscious Living Radio, Co-op Radio in Vancouver, 100.5 FM. I'm Tasha Sims. Welcome to the show tonight. We're going to be speaking with Marguerite Ragalloso about the use of psychedelics and how sexuality played out in the Eleusinian mysteries. Marguerite is a scholar and a practitioner of the ancient Mediterranean mystery traditions. She holds a master's in philosophy and religion, as well as a PhD in humanities. She's a spiritual teacher, clairvoyant guide, and mentors women and men to cultivate their spiritual knowledge and bring their sacred calling to fruition. She's also the author of The Cult of the Divine Birth in Ancient Greece and Virgin Mother Goddess of Antiquity. Having taught many courses on the sacred feminine and women's spiritual leadership, tonight she's going to share her knowledge about these mysteries from ancient Greece held during the fall time, where thousands of people were spiritually initiated in a profound underworld journey. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
You just did the Spirit Plant Conference, didn't you?
Last year I did, in fact.
Oh, I thought you were here this year, too.
Not this year, but perhaps next year.
Yeah. So let's start with the basics for our listeners. What were the Eleusinian mysteries of ancient Greece? When did they take place? What were they for?
Yeah, well, this has been a great mystery because so much of it was secret, but we do know from many historical documents that this took place in ancient Greece at Eleusis, which is outside of Athens, and this would have been in the September going into October time period. It lasted 9 days, and this was done for at least a couple of thousand years in the ancient world, and it would have as many as 3,000 initiates at a time, having a profound experience of initiation into the mysteries of the goddess Demeter, who was the goddess of the grain, and her daughter Persephone, who was the goddess of the plant shoots and also the queen of the underworld. So the initiates would come from far and wide. They could be men and women, free and slave, as long as they spoke Greek and had not killed anyone.
Were those the only requirements then? The only criteria was that you spoke Greek and hadn't killed anyone? Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Right, yeah. So it was really wide open, and there were many, many famous orators and wise men and women of the ancient world who were initiated there.
And who was doing the initiating?
Well, there were two families that we know of that controlled the initiates and this whole rite. And out of those families came the Hierophant, or the chief male priest of it, and then the priestess of Demeter and Persephone and other female acolytes priestesses that would run this. So it was a very tightly controlled ritual that lasted 9 days, and the culminating days were people going down into a massive otherworldly journey, which I can talk about.
And in terms of women and their participation, were they respected as priestesses? Did they hold positions of power?
Yes, they did. In ancient Greece, the role of the priestess was still a highly held and respected role throughout the country, and especially at the Eleusinian Mysteries. And there's evidence that the Eleusinian Mysteries emerged out of the older Thesmophoria, which was a women-only celebration and completely controlled by priestesses. So, yes, the women were very active as priestesses. There's evidence that they also created the substance that people drank called the koukeion, which most likely, from all the evidence that we hear, was a hallucinogenic substance that allowed them to have this underworldly journey together.
And is there knowledge about this particular psychedelic? It was a psychedelic, was it?
Yeah, I believe it's a psychedelic. Most classicists will not, but then again, they do not have any experience in this domain, and they are reading with very three-dimensional, stilted academic eyes, ancient texts that really have to do with indigenous experiences and knowledge, that when you read from the, with the perspective of somebody who has partaken of these, it becomes blatantly obvious that it was a hallucinogen that was used, that was called the Kukeon. It was a mixture, and there have been various conjectures as to what it was. There might be some ancient evidence that it included pennyroyal, which was a plant that did have psychotropic properties. There have been discussions as to whether it included mushrooms, sacred mushrooms, and so forth, or whether it even included some form of hallucinogenic wheat or some kind of ergot or fungus that was hallucinogenic that would grow on the wheat. So we're not exactly sure what it was, but it seems from the description of what the initiates went through that it was a hallucinogenic journey, tightly controlled by the sacred personnel that were running the ritual.
And what was the purpose of altering one's state in ritual, in this ritual?
Well, there were many purposes, but the essential bit of it was to have the experience of these gods, to enact their dramas and their stories so that you would gain the wisdom of these goddesses and the attendant gods who included Dionysus and Hades. It was a journey into paradox, a journey into the reconciliation of the masculine and the feminine, and the re-enholing and re-ensouling of the feminine to herself. And it was a journey to understand and go into the death realms and the underworld realms so that you would know that your consciousness was eternal, that there really was no death, and that you could, through this practice, live as a more exalted person and have a better death in which you would go on to your next destination in a more harmonious way than most people would who had not had this experience. So in some senses, it was a preparation for death, but it also helped them to live life in a more full way because of that.
And did it translate into the culture? Do you know what I mean by that? Like, did it actually,
yes,
this knowledge, this awakening?
There were thousands of people who would have been initiated into this mystery, from commoners all the way up to royalty. And so, yes, I do believe that it infused. And there were other mystery celebrations throughout the ancient Mediterranean world as well. This was perhaps, though, considered the most important one, or at least at a certain time period, it was considered the most important one. And I do think that it had ramifications and repercussions in the felt lives of the Greeks and how they understood reality.
Mm-hmm. Was it
a window that subsequently began to close as the Greeks lost their power and the Romans took over and then Christendom took over?
And so this was throughout Greece, or was it more located in one area versus another?
Well, the Eleusinian mysteries were located only in Greece, but the Thesmophoria, which was a feminine ritual, was done throughout the ancient Mediterranean world in various locations. We have evidence for various places in Greece, as well as Sicily, for example, Magna Graecia. Okay, so basically, you know, the extended Magna Graecia, or the extended Greek colonies and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Are there any writings by the initiates about the experience,
no,
personal writings?
No, because they were sworn to secrecy under penalty of death. And there was one person who tried to, or in fact did, replicate the mysteries on his own, and I believe that he was killed for doing so. The writings that we have are some of the ancient commentators who were Greek, and then the sort of like patriarchal Christian fathers like Origen and Clement of Alexandria, and they provide some of the more shocking and telling details of what actually went on, because they were not sworn to secrecy, but they were prudish, and they were shocked by the entheogenic and sexual nature of what was going on.
Maybe you can paint us a picture, because we're not shy about it. Can you do
exactly.
that?
Exactly. Well, we're not shy, and yet you would not believe the kind of flack that I've gotten, not only from classic scholars, but from even women's spirituality scholars who get completely shocked at this interpretation. But in fact, this interpretation is extremely and meticulously well documented in my book, Virgin Mother Goddesses of Antiquity, published by the scholarly press Palgrave Macmillan. The chapter on Demeter and Persephone and the Eleusinian Mysteries takes up almost half of the book, and you can find all the references there. But basically, the broad outlines of what I think happened are that initiates would go, and at the night of the great mystery part of it, I think it was night 7 and 8, something like that, they would go into the Telesterion, which was a building that had steps, and there, it was a grand interior. And they would sit there, and they would imbibe the Kukaion. And there is evidence that they were also carrying with them representations of phallic objects. And there is also evidence that what they were experiencing was the exact dramas of these goddesses. And what we know is that the greatest drama here is that Persephone was raped. She was taken into the underworld, and there she conceived a child, Dionysus. So what I contend, and this is a controversial so-called shocking part of it, is that these initiates, we know that they did things, they saw things, and things were said, and they moved objects from one place to another. And what I contend is that they were moving objects they were taking the phallic objects, and this would include men and women, because all of the participants basically had to be rendered female. They all had to assume the role of Persephone. This was a female consciousness that they were entering. Even the Hierophant, the main priest, had to symbolically castrate himself by drinking a certain proportion of hemlock. And so he castrated himself energetically, wow, in a kind of a reverse Viagra situation, so that he could be rendered female to even conduct these mysteries. So the person undergoing this would imbibe the Kukaion. Then they would take out the phallic objects, and they would undergo a rape, the rape of Persephone. That is what they had to experience. It was an abduction into the underworld, and it also had a sexual element to it. So they would insert the artificial phallus into their vagina if they were a female, or their anus if they were a man. And there may have been further entheogenic substances on those artificial phalluses. And then they would go into this deep underworld rape experience, where we hear that they hover and sweat and shudder and tremble. These are all indications that they're going on this great journey. And then eventually they would come into the Elysian fields, and they would experience a great light, and they would actually witness the presence of Persephone. And the Hierophant at the end would announce, "Brimo, the great virgin goddess, has given birth to a child. Brimo has given birth to Brimos." And then he would hold up a sprig of wheat. So this was showing this great cycle of essentially the parthenogenetic conception of a child in the womb of the goddess. And in fact, we know that elsewhere in the interior, the priestess was having a ritual sexual experience, probably with the god Hades Dionysus, and probably with an artificial phallus herself, because the Hierophant had been rendered impotent. So it was talking about multiple levels of things going on. One was a divine birth ritual. This is a remembrance of divine birth rituals that the priestess would go through to conceive a holy avatar, the next king. And it would, so the initiates had to experience every single character. They had to experience and become Persephone, who's getting raped. They had to be Hades or Dionysus, who was raping her. They had to be the grieving mother, Demeter, who was separated from her daughter. And then they had to be the child that was reborn of this strange union. So that is what I think was going on. And the people would come out of there with their minds completely blown, having been in the underworld, having gone through a rebirth, understood that there is no death, and seen rape reversed out into cosmic rebirth. So it was a form of also reconciliation of the great rape of the cosmic feminine that had gone on by the cosmic masculine when he raped Persephone as the queen. And so many, many layers of things going on, and I'm, you know, really packing it in here mm-hmm. for listeners in a very quick way, but you can tease all of this out and really read this in a much more measured way in the book, Virgin Mother Goddesses of Antiquity.
What do you think is the value of having this knowledge, knowing about this? Is there something specific or practical for today's human being?
Well, yes. Just for example, with the election that we've had in the United States, it would be extremely comforting to know that all things disappear in a cycle, and that this great travesty on the part of the masculine that is being enacted in rather extreme and heinous ways by somebody who has supposedly been elected is not really going to get very far, because the era of the feminine coming back into itself is happening, and the era of the masculine understanding feminine reality is happening. So this is like a short-lived gasp that is happening right now in the public domain, but the feminine is rising, and the feminine is just simply being provoked to come back into its power, just as the feminine came back into its power in that paradoxical Eleusinian mystery rape experience, where there was really no rape ultimately. Mm-hmm. So when we understand that things are impermanent, when we understand that there is no death, and when we understand that there is karma, because that was another thing of Demeter and Persephone, their mysteries tell you that what goes around comes around. And that's why when the people would come out of the Eleusinian mysteries, they would live a better life, because they would see the consequences of karma in the other world. And so we are seeing a great play of karma right now, where people are acting a certain way, they think they're going to get away with it, everybody else is upset, and in fact, it's all going to wash out in the sea of karma, and everybody's going to have to contend with and deal with their own karma. Perpetrator and victim, which is all of us. We've all been perpetrators. We've all been victims. So it's how we are dealing with the present time with a bit of equanimity, knowing that this too shall pass, mm-hmm. I think is one of the great blessings of the Eleusinian mysteries, and it could not be more timely a message to listeners today.
It also occurs to me that it's illuminating the shadow.
Absolutely.
What you describe is inviting an experience of the shadow, our shadows.
Definitely. You invite an experience of cosmic rape, for goodness sake. You know, when the masculine came out of balance with the feminine in the great cosmic scheme and decided, I'll have what she's having and I'm going to get it by raping her. That was a great transgression that the goddess allowed in order to have the totality of experiences. And this is another one of the philosophical concepts that people would understand very deeply and that I talk about in my book. Mm-hmm. So it's an extremely profound situation of masculine and feminine warfare and reconciliation. And it's on the cosmic level, and this is all, it trickles down to the human level. And we are in an era now where the eon of Persephone's rape is over. And it is going to be reversed out and changed.
And what will it take to heal, for first of all, the masculine, the distorted masculine? What would it take to heal that, do you think?
It takes understanding that that everything comes from a wound, that all shadow energies come from a wound and from separation from the sense of the divine. So it comes from people doing their own self-healing, women and men, and being able to come to self-love and radiate that energy outward to all others, because when you have self-love, then you're loving of others. Your behavior is different. And there are many, many men, women, and people of all genders and sexes that are doing this kind of inner reconciliation work right now. And I think that what we are seeing in the public stage is just going to spur that even more dramatically for many people.
Mm-hmm. What's important for our listeners to know? What else? What other points would you like to make before we close? We only have a few more minutes.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to breathe into that for a moment, mm-hmm. okay? Because I'm going to read it on a deeper level. That the cosmos is infinitely magnificent and mysterious. It is eternally creative. There are other realms and other domains that are accessible to us. There is help beyond the veil. We need but open our hearts, minds, and eyes to connect back with those realms once again so that we may come to wholeness, raise our consciousness, and move forward into a grander evolution. And something like the Eleusinian Mysteries allows us to have a penetrating look into how the ancients handled it and how we may handle it once again in our own way and in our own rung of the evolutionary spiral. That's what I would say. And I would say that if people want to speak with me more, they can contact me at info@sevensistersmysteryschool.com. The seven is written out, S-E-V-E-N. They can check out more information about this book, my other books about divine birth and how that divine conception aspect of avatars onto the planet is related to all of this and is also coming back into awareness. And you can go to my site, sevensistersmysteryschool.com, for that and much, much more information that will help you to open your consciousness and not only cope with what's going on, but really transcend, supersede it, and reform it. Mm-hmm. Completely, completely change reality and timelines as they now appear to be being presented to us. We have the power to do this, and it is going to be an inside job, and it is going to be a process of consciousness.
I can't think of a better day to have had this interview than today, because
yes.
I know a lot of people are feeling enormous feelings, and this is so inspirational. And he really is, the situation is an opportunity, and that's what I'm hearing in the energy of everything you share, that we can use this moment. Yeah.
Indeed. And you know why our interview got postponed, strangely,
mm-hmm.
from last week until this,
yeah.
because last week it ended up the orchestration of by the universe such that I could go hear the state oracle of Tibet speaking at a church in Sausalito, California. And I was blown over because my profession is as an oracle. I work as an oracle privately and publicly, and I teach women how to be oracles, and it is this type of knowledge we need. And here you have a man who is respected as somebody who protects the Dalai Lama through all of this oracle activity. He does perhaps as much as once a month, going into a profound state of trance and the other world to access the beings of support on the other side. And that is how this great holy male is being able to survive on the planet, is through the help of his oracle. So, you know, we can all be oracles. Mm-hmm. And I just feel that it was important for me to go visit the oracle so that then I could come here again and talk mm-hmm. with ever more fervor mm-hmm. about the importance of the oracle and wisdom, and especially women's wisdom right now. We mm-hmm. all must access our consciousness in deeper ways and source.
Thank you so much for joining us. I know all this information will be on our website as well, www.consciousliving.radio.org, so you can find out more about Marguerite and what she's up to. And if you need any kind of, if you want to dive into this, get the information there and you can contact her. Thanks so much.
Thank you so very much.
We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Anya Petrovic talking about Tesla metamorphosis on Conscious Living Radio 100.5 FM, Co-op Radio in Vancouver.
I am healed, whole and healthy. I relapse and visualize. I am healed, whole and healthy. I am well, I am well. I am healed, whole and healthy. I relapse and visualize. I am healed. I am well, I am well, I am healed, whole and healthy. I accept and I receive. I am healed, whole and healthy. I am well,
I am well,
I am well, I am
healed, whole and healthy.
Angels are watching.
I am.